Hallelujah. Can we lift up our hands and bless the Lord at this time? Lord, your love is so great. Your protection is so secure. Your compassion is so deep. Lord, each and every moment of our life, we are experiencing your goodness. We are no longer slaves to fear. We are a child of God. We are protected by the hand of God. We are graven upon your image. We are thank you, Lord, that we are continually before you. Father, there is not a moment in our life that you take your eyes off from us. This morning, Lord, we are coming before your presence. We pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to understand how good you are. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us to worship you, Lord. What a mighty and great God you are. We pray that you bless us this morning. I want to pray, Father, for the tithe and the offering that your people have put in the offering bag. I pray that you bless them, Lord. Lord, take care of all our needs, O Father. We give you all the glory and honor. We bless your name. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As you remain standing, I just want to say a few things. As you all know, today is Mother's Day. It's not for wishing, but the Lord has put a word for all the mothers, especially today. And I want to speak a word to all the mothers. But surprisingly, we are continuing on our journey through the Bible. If you know, it's a great adventure, and we are through the journey on the Bible. And today we are going to go to the second book of the Bible. So if you come, if you can open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. We are going from Genesis to Exodus. Today the topic is the lasting impact of a godly mother. How much a godly mother has an impact on a child. This is the message that I want to speak to you. So if you have your Bibles open, turn to Exodus chapter 2. We are going to read the first 12 verses of a great man that God used in the Old Testament, the man called Moses. The man who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. The man that God chose to lead the people of Israel from the bondage of Egypt into freedom and led them even to the brink of the promised land. It says that there was never a man like Moses that God met and spoke face to face. Today we are going to read about his beginning of his life, and I want through that give a message to the mothers here. Let me tell you, as I start this message, truly there are some messages that I speak with preparation, but this is a message that God put in my heart. And I know that it's going to be a blessing for you. So whatever Bible language version you have, I want you to follow along with me as we read the first 12 verses of the Bible, of Exodus chapter 2. Verses 1 to 12. Let's read together. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked alongside the river. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. And then we will pause a minute. Between verse number 10 and verse number 11, let me tell you, all of you, there is a gap of 40 years. And that is why it starts like a new paragraph and it says, and there's a gap of full 40 years gap. Verse number 11 says, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown and he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him on the sand. The public life of Moses starts with a killing. Why did he kill? What is gone on in his life? We are going to look this morning. So as we are going to the word of God, let us sit with a desire that, Lord, that you speak to me. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Please take your seat in the presence of God. And I pray that this will be a blessing to everyone. Especially, I'm going to speak in particular to all the mothers who are sitting. This is a message for the mothers. As I begin my thoughts, let me speak about a motherhood. I have never fully understood what it means to be a mother. But last week, the whole of last week, I was thinking about the whole process of motherhood. From the time the baby is conceived in the womb, there are so many physiological and biological changes that happens to a woman. She starts nurturing the baby inside the womb as he or she grows up, every moment from the time the baby is conceived. The food that she eats in the body gets broken up, and the nutrients from that food gets delivered to her baby. Her body loses shape. Her feet swells as the baby starts to grow inside her body. For 9 months and beyond, she bears that life within her as she carries the baby. For the world to know that there is a living being inside her womb. And after 9 months, on the day that God decides, she delivers the baby or babies into the world through a lot of excruciating pain that only she and God knows. No father, no man can know or comprehend the pain of a woman that she delivers her baby. But what I want to stress this morning, dear mothers, is the nurture and care that you give to your child when she or he is inside your womb. You need to carry the same nurture and care for the baby when he or she grows up in your home. Because I want to tell you that you will leave a lasting impact on your child if you are able to impact your child in the ways of God. So what I want to speak this morning is about a lasting impact that a godly woman has on a child. And how you can nourish the child physically and spiritually throughout the period of childhood and even to his adulthood. This morning I want to draw the example of a woman who is not mentioned in this chapter. We don't know the name of the woman, but if you turn the pages of the Bible to Exodus chapter 6, verse number 20, this woman is described very casually by her own son. And her name is casually mentioned as part of the genealogy as the lady's name being Jochebed. She is a Levite woman who married a Levite man, and she is from the tribe of Levi. There is something about Jochebed that is apart from any woman that I've ever heard in this world. Because Jochebed is the only mother who was paid salary to rear up a child. I know the mothers would love that. They don't have to go to work and take care of others. Imagine somebody paying you wages to nurse your child and bring it. There is nothing better than that. But you know what? All this happened because of God's plan and God's purpose. Where do we see that she got paid? When you see chapter 2 verses 7 to 9. She is asking the sister of Moses to bring a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. And she brings the mother of Moses, Jochebed, who brings the child and brings to the baby. When I'm looking at here, every child was killed in those days by the order of Pharaoh. But this child was providentially saved by God because God had a great plan for that child. And it dawned upon the mother of Moses that I cannot kill him. I have to save him alive. And so she put the baby in a small, like an ark of bulrushes. And she took pitch so that the ark could not get drowned in the water. She put the child and then she let it go to God for God to take care of the child. And we know that God brought the daughter of Pharaoh. When you see here, the daughter of Pharaoh came, and when she saw the baby, if you look here in verse number 5 and verse number 6, the baby started in the right time. According to Q, the baby started weeping. And the motherly instinct of Pharaoh's daughter, she had compassion on the baby. All of a sudden, because she could have easily said, let's kill this child. But she had compassion because it was her mother's heart that reached out to rescue the child. But let me tell you that the plan she made, she knew that she could not nurse the child because it was not her baby. So right moment the sister of Moses came and said, hey, I can get a woman to nurse the child for you. And so providentially Moses was deputed to be nursed from the infant age by the mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said, listen, every month there will be a check coming to you in your bank account. You just buy the stuff and take care of the child. You will be rewarded for your effort. So the mother of Pharaoh is taking care of the child. But today I want to tell you, Jochebed got a period of time to take care of the baby. It says that as you read this portion between verse number 9 and verse number 10, there was a period in Moses' life from the infancy, from the time that that baby did not know anything from right and wrong, to the time that the baby grew, there was a time that God gave Jochebed to train and raise the child in godly ways. Because it says in verse number 10, the child grew. We don't know what age the child grew up to. But there was a time that the mother could not nurse him anymore because the child had grown. We don't know if the age is 14, 15, 16. We don't know what the age was, but the child grew. And then in verse number 10, it says, she brought the child to Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to pay attention to every word that is written here. It says, he became her son. Moses became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Even though he was a Hebrew child, but he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What I can see here is that before that happened, which is not mentioned here, there is something that happened in Moses' early childhood rearing up. I believe that Jochebed has told Moses many times, son, I'm going to send you off to the palace very soon. But you need to realize that you may grow up in a king's palace, but you are not an Egyptian. You are a Hebrew. You are the child and your great-grandfather Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. God has promised them a land, and you are a Hebrew and you are not an Egyptian. I believe that she must have told the child, listen, not only are you a Hebrew, you are also from the tribe of Levi. You are a descendant of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, that is Israel. You are an Israelite, you are in Egypt,
But you know what? God has promised us a land one day. And she must have trained that child. And she must have made an impact on that child. Because what I'm going to tell you is what happened in Moses' life showed that the mother of Moses gave her a training. That even after she let her go, he did not forget what she had told him. In fact, she must have told that there is a sovereign God who will raise up a deliverer. And maybe you're that deliverer. She may have told him. We don't know. But then we see that there is a transfer. In verse number 10, there is a transfer of childcare from a godly mother to a worldly mother. The child is transformed. Very clearly it says that he became her son and she came to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You understand this? Moses is handed over to the education. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about our children. There is a period of time when they come with us to church, they listen to us, they come and they obey us. But then after a period of time, they are ready to fly off the nest and they are going to examine the world, going to the college life. There is no one to look after them, no one to put an eye on them. Oh, are you walking in the right way or not? Nobody is going to know about them. Every child, there is a period when you leave the child off. You have to release the child to the world. And then the mother and the father can only pray, Lord, I hope my child does not fall into bad company. I hope my child puts you first in his life. But do you know what? As a mother, it is your responsibility for God that God has given you to instill in the child that you are the son of a king. You are the child of God. You are not a worldly child. When you go outside to the world, you cannot be like one of them.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot be like one of the worldly children. You cannot behave like the worldly children. You cannot go to the places that they go to party and to drink and to do drugs and to go into pornography and illicit things. You cannot do it because you are the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Many times we fail to realize the great responsibility that God has given to mothers, especially to mothers. In the early age of a child's life, how much you can impact your child to choose God over everything else. After Jochebed released Moses into the hand of the Pharaoh's daughter, do you know what happened to Moses? The Bible tells that he got the best Egyptian cultural education, the best education that anybody can get. He had the privilege to live in the royal palace of the king. He became known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The first 40 years of his life, from the time that the mother left her son to the daughter of Pharaoh, till he was 40 years old, he was a royal person. He was raising up in luxury, in comfort and privileges. Do you know that he was also well educated? For that you need to turn to Acts chapter 7. Note this down. Acts chapter 7 verse 22 tells us that Moses was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he became mighty in words and in deeds. He was a scholar par excellence. He was highly learned in the best education that world could offer him. He grew up in maturity, in stature. He was a powerful man. He grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh. The best Egyptian education that he get. But one thing you should realize. When you look at verse number 11, it gives you a clue that I will tell you. You know who is writing this? Moses is writing this. And this is said that when it came to pass after he was grown, which I believe was 40 years old, he went out to his brethren. There are two times it says that the Hebrew was his brethren. Even though he was in the palace of Egypt, even though people saw him as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he knew his brothers were Hebrews. And he went out and looked at their burdens. So we come to verse number 11 and 12. Something that happened in Moses' life where he had to make a great choice, the most important choice in his life. And what was the choice? When you come there, when he saw that one of the Egyptians was beating up a Hebrew. You know, if somebody beats my sister or brother or somebody, if you truly love that sibling, you will defend that person. And Moses, when he saw that an Egyptian was beating up a Hebrew, that brotherly love, that rage, got him sad because he remembered his mother teaching him that he's a Hebrew and they are beating up his brother. And so what he did, in verse number 12, Moses makes a very crucial decision that changes his whole life after that. It says that he looked this way and he looked that way. When he did not see anybody, I don't know how he did it, but he killed the Egyptian with one stroke maybe. He may have pounded him with one hand or used a sword or whatever. He killed the Egyptian with one blow. Now Moses had a choice. You know, he could do like many of us do. He could just close his eyes and he could go back to the palace, live in his comfortable surroundings and say, hey, I didn't know that happened. He could have done that. Or he could have aligned himself with a Hebrew brother and defended him. But that is a time when he made the most important choice. Why did he make the most important choice? And why did he make the choice that he made? It's because I am telling you, it was his mother who trained him from an early childhood. To know what was the choice he made, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. A couple of verses that gives an idea about what exactly happened in the life of Moses. What did Moses do? What was the choice he did? If you read with me that verse in Hebrews chapter 11, 24 to 26, the writer of Hebrews writes like this: by faith Moses, when he became of age, now listen here, I've underlined this for you to understand, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for a reward. Today I want to speak about four elements in this greatest choice that Moses made in his life. There are four parts that Moses decided that this is for me. I am going to make a choice. There are two ways for me, but I am going to take this choice and this is my choice. The first is that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Even though Moses had a good chance to succeed the throne in Egypt, he refused the wealth, the honor, the power, the prestige, and even the choice to become the next ruler of Egypt, to be called the Pharaoh. He refused to do that. Look at the choice that this Moses is making at that time. He said, I am not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because I'm not a son. My mother's name is Jochebed, and I am a Hebrew. I am from the tribe of Levi. I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was the first thing. The second element is that it says Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What did Moses do? He voluntarily, he chose hardship over comfort. He chose shame and reproach over fame and honor. He chose afflictions over sinful pleasures. He chose the wilderness over the palace courts. He chose, remember, He chose to suffer afflictions. When your son or daughter goes out to the world, what are the choices that they make? It all comes from what they have been taught. Son, choose life. Do not choose death. Choose the narrow way. Do not choose the broad way. Choose Jesus. Do not choose the world. Choose to be a disciple of Jesus rather than to be a friend of the world and the people of the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The third thing is that Moses, it says, esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You know, the treasures of Egypt are for a short time, but the riches of Christ, how can Christ come into Moses? I was thinking about that. Because Christ was not in the picture. But what Moses knew was that my God can give me greater things than what Pharaoh can give me. He was ready to endure sufferings because he esteemed that it would be more than all the wealth that the greatest and richest country on the earth can give him. And finally, the fourth element I would tell you, and this is the key of the whole thing. Moses was guided to refuse to choose and esteem because of his faith in God. His faith must have developed by his godly mother Jochebed, who taught him about Jehovah God, who had promised the grandfathers the land of Canaan. The pleasures of sin were of a brief duration in view of eternity of God's glory. You know, you need to, as mothers, you need to instill in your children the value of making the right choices. Choose to be a friend of God than to be a friend of the world. 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 to 17 says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. What does the world represent? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Choose, that are what the world gives. It says that the world is passing away, but he who does the will of God will abide forever. Can we lift up our hands and bless the Lord? Hallelujah. Do not choose the world. Do not love the world. Love God instead. Because the world is attracting you with all these temptations and the lust in your life. And so, when Moses had grown, he never forgot his mother who had nursed him with that godly heritage. He understood that I am going to choose God over Pharaoh. I am going to choose what God tells me. He identified with his brethren on that day. And for the next 40 years, he had to run in the backside of a wilderness where God broke him up. Whatever he learned in Egypt, God broke him to come to a place that when God told him to go and speak, he said, Lord, I'm not able. I'm not able to speak. I'm not good enough. Because God sent him to the back roads of the desert to look after sheep so that he could understand that it is God alone who could do this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God used the wilderness for the next 40 years. And do you know that Moses became the greatest man of the Old Testament, who wrote the first 5 books called the Torah. He wrote them. He taught the people. He led the people for 40 years. He talked with God face to face. He became the voice of God. He was the greatest man who lived in the Old Testament. And all this happened because of the impact that his godly mother had upon his life. Today, let me tell you, no great deliverer has ever reached the pinnacle without a mother's help. If you go back to all the greatest people, the greatest people that God has chosen, everybody will go back and say that it was my mother's prayer. It was my mother's instruction that brought me this far. John Wesley, his mother Susanna, had so many children, 19 children to take care. But every day she would sit in a room and pray for each of her child. And she would cry over them and she trained them. Two of her sons became so great in the gospel, John and Charles Wesley. There are so many other examples of people confessing it was my mother's prayer that brought me this far. I'll give you a verse from the New Testament also. when Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. See what Paul is saying here. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is there in you. The young pastor of the Ephesian church, Timothy, his faith was built up by his mother Lois and his grandmother Eunice also. You know, many times we have come to an age, and I'm not criticizing you, don't please take it personal. We choose our work over taking care of our children. We are so busy with our work and everything that we do. We have no time to really instruct and rear up our children in the way that they should go. We are not being an effective tool in the hand of the Lord. And this is because of the choices we make as mothers. But let me tell you, the greatest joy as a mother is to rear up and train up your child in the way that they should go. You need to have the energy and the will and the desire to know it is your child who is your first person that you need to disciple. And you need to bring them up. Your children are going out of your nest one day. Very soon after they leave the high school, they go to a college. You have no control over them. And at that time, when they come across choices that they have to make, they have to remember your instruction that you made as a godly mother. For that, you have to be the model in your home. You have to be the example. And especially talking to the mothers today, you be the example for your daughters. Your daughter is going to imitate the way you are in your life. And you need to realize that God has given you the responsibility to be a role model for your daughter. The way you behave, the way you talk, your attitudes, the way you dress up, your daughter is going to follow exactly what you do. The way you talk to your husbands, they're going to talk to their husbands one day, exactly in the same way. I want to tell you that you have a solemn role to bring up your children in the godly ways that they will never depart from the Lord and never turn away from the Lord. You need to say along with your husband, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Not me alone. "Lord, I am so good, I am done." No, my child has to come to the serving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we stand up on our feet right now? I want every mother to take a decision this morning before you go from here. That you will teach your children how to love God. How to choose God over everything else in their life. That you will choose to serve Him. That your child will serve God alone and not anybody else. This is the greatest privilege that God is giving to every mother here. And I'm telling you this. I am telling you because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I have prayed over this the whole last week. I've been praying over this message and I know the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. You need to be careful the words that you speak within your home. You need to be careful the way you behave, the way you dress, your attitudes, everything your child is looking and he's going to copy or she's going to copy you. As we are going into a time of worship, every eye is closed. There is a Satan as a roaring lion waiting to snatch up your children, turn them into loose cannons to love the world and go after it. But God has given you the opportunity. Spend time with your children, mothers. Don't choose your work over your children. Don't do it. Don't do it. Choose your child as the greatest responsibility on the earth. That is a plan of God for you within your family. God has a great mandate for you that you be the one who will be the role model within your home. Hallelujah.